We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. In the last shiur that we did, it was based on a chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Dalet, chapter 54 in the first half of Likutei Moran, and we covered a number of important points. Some of it was a little bit difficult. I wanted to just try to review and possibly summarize some of the highlights of it to make it a little bit more clear. One of the main issues that Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, mentioned in that chapter on Likutei Moran, one of the main problems that all of us deal with in this world is that the fact that we're in an Olam HaSheker. This world is called a world of falsehood. The future world is referred to as Olam HaEmes, the world of truth. Now, if the truth, if the Emes and Sheker are clear and obvious, most people can make the right choice. The problem is that the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, has permission and has the ability to dress up the sheker to make it look like emes, to take something that's not true and make it appear to be true, to take something that's terrible and make it look fabulous, look great. And that's the whole concept of the different temptations that we have in this world, the temptations, the whole concept of advertising, the advertising world and industry in this world, where they're trying to dress things up to make them look different than what they really are. And this can go from 1 to 180 degrees, you know, in terms of levels of truth and reality. And it's for this reason that Rabbeinu Zal gave the Yetzirah a new name, he said, in one of the chapters on Kutiman, referring to him as Koyach HaMedame, that he has the ability to make something seem to look different than what it really is. The word Medame is Miloshin Ledamot, to compare, to imagine. When we say a person's imagination runs wild, part of the imagination is this fantasizing, where a person thinks thoughts that aren't real. They come up with images, or they come up with plans or ideas that aren't real. It's a major form of sheker. And this is one of the strongest diversions that's used to get a person off track, off from being focused on what our real purpose in this world is, what our real mission is. If a person focuses only on that, a person can accomplish an incredible amount every day, every hour. It's the diversions, the temptations, this koyach hamedame, that there's so much competing, there's so much competition going on for my attention and for my time. There's the Torah and the mitzvahs, and there's all of this other stuff that also seems important. The Yetzirah makes it seem important, or more important in most cases. And there's that instant pleasure, that's that real time, that we're told that the whole concept of Torah and mitzvahs and serving Hashem is for a better future. Whereas the Yetzirah, in many cases, offers instant gratification, something you can enjoy now, a delicious ice cream, a delicious piece of cake, all the other temptations where it seems that the person is being rewarded immediately, even though it's very short-lived. One of the differences being that everything he's offering is very temporary, whereas when we talk about Torah and mitzvahs, that's nitzchi, that's eternal, that's permanent. So Rabbeinu Zal says we have this problem with medame that we're up against, and the solution for it is the hand. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk, biyad hanavim adame, that there is a power in the hand to control and to overcome this medame. Now, we know that recently there's a book that came out that was put out in English called Anatomy of the Soul, which is a collection from all of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings and other sforim, showing how the human anatomy has such depth in it. We know that the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that the human anatomy corresponds perfectly to the Torah. That just like the Torah consists of 613 mitzvahs divided into two sections, 248 positive, 365 negative, the human body matches up to that perfectly. You have the 248 organs and the 365 tons. There's a perfect match. So that in every part of the human body, there's Torah. In fact, there's a pasuk, Zois HaTorah Odom. This is the Torah, man. Man is the Torah. Every part of the human being is connected to the Torah. And here Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the hand, the yad. We know that in the stories that Rabbi Nachman told, the incredible stories, the 13 stories, which reveal tremendous depth of Torah and advice, the final story of the 13 stories is called The Seven Beggars. And in that story, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about seven great tzaddikim who have incredible power. They've achieved incredible heights. And each one of these tzaddikim seems to be incapacitated in a certain way. They have a certain defect. One of them appears as if he can't see. One of them appears as if he can't hear. One of them appears as if he can't. He's a hunchback. And the sixth one, which is the final one, Rabbi Nachman, in that story does not tell the story of the seventh one. The seventh one was the one without feet. But Rabbi Nachman tells the story of the first six of these tzaddikim. The sixth one is called the Bettler without hands. And in each one of these, we learn that each one of these tzaddikim, what appears to be a defect is really the opposite, because again, we're in an Olam HaSheker. Everything is topsy-turvy. The person who seems to be the least important in this world, in the real world, in the world of reality, is the most important. So the person, the tzaddik, who appears to have no power in his hands, we're told, for example, HaKoil Koil Yaakov, V'hayodayim Yedei Esav. The Torah tells us very clearly that a Jew's hands are powerless. The power of the hands is Esav. Esav has the power of the hands. Al charbo chotichya, to live by the sword, might makes right. All the representations of Esav, the other side, the sitrachra. However, we know there's another side of that, because we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu engages Amalek, the greatest adversary of the Jewish people, Reishis Goyim Amalek, the leader of all these 70 nations, the Torah tells us, Vayehi Yodov Emuna, that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in an expression of faith to Hashem, his tefillah, his prayer to Hashem. So that's one example where we see the power, the tzaddikim, who have, they're not using their hands, like, of course, in what the world refers to as hands, punching, slapping, pushing, pulling, the tzaddikim seem to be totally out of it. And the Jewish people on a whole, that's not the Jewish way. You don't talk with your hands. And yet, on the other hand, we find certain descriptions of the Torah of what the hands represent, and in this, the Jewish people and the tzaddikim use this to the maximum. One expression of this is what we just said, the power of tefillah. And here, in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal refers to the issue of simcha, that the hands represent joy. Where do we see this? Rabbeinu Zal gives us many proofs to this. Among them, the pasuk speaks about a Jew bringing a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. When we would come on the holidays, we would bring karbonos, and the Torah says, "Usimachtem, you will be filled with happiness, bechol mishlach yedchem, with everything that you send to the Beis HaMikdash with your hands." Didn't have to say that. It could have said with what you send. The Torah makes a statement, bechol mishlach yedchem, with what you send, what you bring to the Beis HaMikdash with your hands. We mentioned in the previous year that the prophets, the Nevi'im, before they were able to receive prophecy from Hashem, they had to be in a state of joy, ecstatic joy. And the pasuk says, Vahoyo kenagein hamenagein, that these Nevi'im, these prophets, especially the example of Elisha Novi, the case of Dovid HaMelech that's brought, when they wanted to experience prophecy, they would first have somebody play a musical instrument, V'hoyo kenagein hamenagein v'tehi olov yad Hashem. That's when the hand of Hashem would be on the Navi. The hand of Hashem in that pasuk refers to two things. It would bring him to this state of joy, happiness, And number two, he would receive this prophecy, which was one of the highest levels of a revelation of Hashem. Just like simcha, happiness, is referred to as one of the highest levels of a revelation of the light of Hashem. When the Torah speaks about simcha, it says, v'simchas olam al roisham, that happiness is something that's upon their heads, above their heads. It doesn't say biroisham, it says al roisham, like a crown that's worn on the head. And we know when we speak about levels of holiness, the crown is the top, the keser is the top. That's what simcha, that's what simcha is referred to as, the highest level of holiness, and that's the prerequisite for being able to receive prophecy. The connection to the hands is manifold. We know that everything, the Sifrei Kabbalah tells that everything in this world is tied into Hashem's most basic name. Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Everything in the physical world and all the different worlds and all the different levels is included and learned out from these letters. We have the letters of Hashem's most basic name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's four letters. And the expansion of it, the basic expansion of these four letters, they expand into 10 letters. Yud, the letter Yud, the way we pronounce it as a word, it's Yud Vav Dalet. It's three letters. Hey can be spelled several different ways, but in all the different ways it's spelled, it's two letters. Hey Aleph, Hey Hey, Hey Yud, it's always two letters. The way we express the letter as a word, Vav, is spelled, is pronounced as if it were written Vav, Aleph, Vav, with a komatz under it. That's three letters. And the last Hey, again, is two letters when it's filled out. So that the milui, the filling out of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, is actually 10 letters. The word Yad, the hand, represents these two presentations of Hashem's name. The four letters, the Yud is 10, the Dalet is 4, the four letters of Hashem's basic name, and the 10 letters. We find in Tehillim, in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, which we say on Friday night, it's Dovra Melech says there, Alei Osor va'alei Novel, Alei Higoyen Bechinor, that there are these 10 aspects of song. There are these 10 expressions of music, of song, Ki Simachtani Hashem Befor Lecha, which express my joy, my happiness with everything that Hashem has created. The Gemara in Psochim mentions this, the Zohar HaKodesh mentions this, that there are 10 types of negina. There are 10 types of song. And these 10 types of song are expressed in the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms that David HaMelech wrote, is based on these 10 types of song. Mizmor, Shir, the Gemara mentions them, the Zohar HaKodesh mentions them. These 10 types of song correspond to the 10 fingers in the hands. When we talk about musical instruments being played, whether it's wind instruments, whether it's strings, just about in all cases, the hands are involved. These 10 fingers correspond to the 10 types of song, these 10 types of negina, which are an expression of joy and happiness. This Ki Simachtani Hashem Befor Lecho. And this is the message that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting in this chapter on Likut Imran, that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, which is called the Koach HaMedame, the one who tries to give us this instant gratification, and in whatever form a person gets it, those people who their problem is overeating, while they're eating, they're gorging themselves, they're enjoying, right afterwards you speak to almost any of them, it's a nosedive, it's depression, it's unhappiness. The person feels either physically sick or certainly emotionally sick, socially sick, by the damage that's been done because they overate. In other physical pleasures, whatever kind of things the Yetzer Hara is offering, a person partakes in the taiva, drugs, all of these things, the high that a person gets from them, everyone knows is short-lived, and it's followed by a nosedive, by a depression. The difference, that's what this medame is offering. The tikkun for it is the simcha of kedusha, a joy of holiness, the type of joy that comes from hearing proper music, kosher music, music that's coming from a source of holiness, or music that's being played out of respect for Hashem. It's being played at a positive occasion, a Jewish wedding, a wedding celebration, a simcha shel mitzvah, hachnasas sefer Torah, whatever it is, those forms of music, that's this yad of kedusha. That's this hand. We mentioned that in the story of the seven beggars that Rabbeinu Zal tells there, he speaks about this tzaddik who seemed powerless in his hands, and yet he revealed afterwards that he had the secret of these 10 types of song, which gave him the ability to cure the princess, which represents each and every Jewish soul, when it's been shot by the 10 different arrows, the 10 different types of poisons that the Yetzer Hara tries to inject a person to get them depressed. When the Yetzer Hara tries to disconnect a person from the Torah is the 10 commandments. The basis of the Torah is the Aseres Hadibrois. The Torah has in it all facets of simcha. We say, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev. The commandments of Hashem are proper and true. They bring joy to a person's heart. That's these 10 commandments. That's the 10 levels of prophecy that the Torah speaks about, and these 10 types of simcha. The Yetzer Hara tries to harm a person, to bring a person down, by injecting 10 different types of poisons, 10 different types, 10 different versions of depression, sadness, unhappiness, looking at everything in a negative way. The cup is half empty. It's not half full. I did next to nothing today. Instead of a person being able to focus on the few good things they accomplished today, they focus on their failures. This is all the power of the Yetzer Hara. And in the story there, the Betler says, Un ich helzi, that I, this Betler, who have this power in my hands, I have these 10 fingers, I have the secret of these 10 types of song, I have this joy and happiness, I cure the Jewish soul, I cure the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem, from all the different ailments. And this is how Rabbeinu Zal is expressing in this chapter the tremendous importance that if a Jew follows the advice we mentioned here about music, and we mentioned how a song is composed of individual notes. A song requires a person picking. He picks a note and he skips a note. He picks a different note. It's selecting notes, and the notes are written as dots. This is like a person looking at himself. And each and every one of us has good and bad, things we did right, things we did wrong. In order to compose this song, this music, this joy, a person has to have the ability to pick out the good points, the good notes, and putting those together plays this song, which brings to simcha, which is the antidote to this medame. That's the biyad hanaviim adama. The prophets who knew this secret, that's why they had this music played before they received the prophecy. The music put them in a state of simcha, which took away the medame, which eliminated the imagination. The Gemara says every one of us has prophecy. A person goes to sleep at night, they have dreams. And in dreams, a person could see revelations. But the problem is that the Gemara says there's no such thing as a dream without garbage in it, without things that are untrue in it. And the problem is, how do you extract? Most dreams, it's very hard to be able to identify the truth, to separate the good from the bad, the truth from the falsehood, and therefore most people do not get clear messages from dreams. The prophets, these Nevi'im, who knew this secret of the Yad, the hand, the Simcha, the song, the Negina, through that they were able to receive a true Nevuah, which is a clear message from Hashem, which is the antidote to this Medame, this Koach HaMedame, which is the opposite. It's where the Yetzer Hara tries to present an image, a picture of something that's real, and it's really false. It's the opposite of Hashem. This pretty much closes the discussion that we wanted to bring out from this Torah Nun Dalet. The next chapter on Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nachman mentions, highlights this topic of Simcha, is chapter 61, which is entitled Chodi Rabbi Shimon. It's based on a line in the Zohar HaKadosh where it says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai rejoiced. And we have this term used throughout the Zohar HaKadosh. We see tremendous joy and happiness on the part of Rabbi Shimon and his students. In this chapter, towards the end, Rabbi Nachman focuses a very short paragraph, paragraph 8, on this topic of Simcha. And he mentions that when Jews get together, Al Yidei Shenichlolim Yachad Kol HaNefoshos, when a number of Jewish souls come together and merge together, they communicate, they're talking together, they're eating together, they're learning together, they're singing together. Al Yidei Zeh Nase Simcha. This generates joy and happiness. We mentioned many times that Judaism, Torah, is Simcha. The pasuk Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev. The mitzvahs of Hashem bring joy to the heart. Mitzvah number one in the Torah is not to be alone. Pru Revu, to create, to procreate, which requires that the Torah says, Hashem introduces the topic by saying Hashem said, Loi toiv heyois odam levadoi. It is not good for a person to be alone. Es eloi ezer kenegdoi. And therefore, I'm going to give each person a mate so that there'll be a minimum of two. When it comes to studying Torah, we know that the Gemara says that a person who studies Torah alone, when the opportunity is available to have a chavrusa, or the opportunity is available to attend a public shir, the Gemara uses very harsh statements. It quotes a pasuk, cherev al abadim, a sword hangs over the loners, v'noyalu, and they're foolish. They won't get the real benefit of the study of Torah. And also the Gemara says they're considered to be sinning. They're committing a sin. Asher noyalnu v'asher chotonu, the Gemara says. That's how critical it is to have two or more in any aspect of mitzvah. Every time we do a mitzvah, we say l'shem yichud kud shebrichu ushchinte, that the goal of our doing a mitzvah is to unite the heavenly male and female, to unite Hashem and the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem, to bring these two together. The reason for this is because that is joy and happiness. Joy and happiness is when there's two or more. In one, it's much, much more difficult for a person to get to this simcha. And Rabbi Nachman points out in this Torah that especially when people come to the tzaddik, when people gather around the tzaddik, the light that's generated, the light coming from the tzaddik himself, and the light that's generated by the people coming to him, brings tremendous joy. The pasuk says, "Mishlei oyer tzaddikim yismach." The light of tzaddikim generates joy and happiness. What is this light? Every single Jew, what is a Jewish soul? A soul, a neshama, a nefesh, is light. The pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishma Sodom. That the soul of a person, the spirituality in a person, is a candle. A few candles coming together, you put together a few candles, you have oyer. Each candle is a little bit of light. You put a number of candles together, you have a chandelier. You have something that's generating, that's a major production of light. We know that the Torah tells us that each and every single Jew is referred to as tzaddik. There's a pasuk, v'amech kulam tzaddikim. Your nation are all tzaddikim. Every single Jew has an aspect of tzaddik inside of him. But unfortunately, the fact that we're in this world and we go through all the tests and the trials and tribulations that we go through, when we fail a test, we cover up that tzaddik, that aspect of tzaddik inside of us, that light, that nefesh, that neshama in us, becomes covered up with darkness. Every mitzvah we do enhances the light, ups the light. Every sin we do darkens the light. When Jews get together with the tzaddik, with a true tzaddik, a tzaddik is one who has had many more successes than failures. By him, his neshama is shining very brightly. His nefesh is on fire. That light is burning very brightly. Not only do they benefit from his light, but his light and power has the ability to remove the darkness from our souls and to be able to ignite us, to turn on this light inside of us. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Hoidah, Halacha Vav, paragraph Membeis, says, we see this in Parshas Vayigash, which is coming up shortly, when the Torah tells us about the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, when they finally gather around him and they're enlightened, they realize he reveals himself to them. He reveals to them that he's Yosef HaTzadik. One of the first things he says to them is, V'ata, and now, Al Teotzvu, don't be depressed. Don't be sad. Don't be down. Why? Why shouldn't they? What's going to remove their depression? Rav Nosson Zal says, Yosef is the symbol of tzaddik. He said to them, you've come to me. You've come to me and you've recognized the truth. Until this point, even though they came to him, they didn't acknowledge who he really was. He was hiding from them. They didn't know who he was. And now that he revealed himself to them, when a Jew comes to the tzaddik and realizes who the tzaddik is, he recognizes him as tzaddik, that person will see this vi'ato al teyotzvu. That will help the person immediately eliminate the atzvus, the sadness and depression, and be able to awaken this simcha. This oyer tzadikim yismach, the pasuk says. The light of tzadikim. Who are the tzadikim? It's the tzadik himself and all those who gather to him. Every single Jew who gathers to the tzadik, one of the most important accomplishments of the tzadik is turning on that nekuda of tzaddik inside of each one of us, igniting the flame, igniting the nefesh, the neshama, the spark that's inside of us. The Torah testifies, oyer tzaddikim yismach, that it's this light of tzaddikim, the tzaddik and those who gather around him, that generates the simcha. And this, in fact, is one of the most important pieces of advice in terms of a person who's searching for simcha. Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal emphasize that for a Jew to do this on his own, extremely difficult. The Yetzer is trying every trick in the book to get a person down. The whole concept of hiskarvus to the tzaddik, coming close to the tzaddik, is to be able to give a person this ability to identify the nekud of tzaddik inside of himself and to be zoicha to this true simcha. We happen to be around the time of Hanukkah right now. Maybe we'll just add a few words that are connected to this. The fact that the total number of candles that we light on Hanukkah, the 36 candles that we light on Hanukkah, it's brought correspond to the concept of 36 tzaddikim. It's brought, the Gemara says, that in the world, there are always at least 36 tzaddikim. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that this refers to 36 in Eretz Yisrael and another 36 in Chutz Loretz. There's a pasuk, Cholak Libam. The heart of the Jewish people was divided. The word Libam, Lamed Beis Mem, is 72. The 72 tzaddikim in the world are divided, 36 in Eretz Yisrael, 36 in Chutz Loretz. So that the light of the 36 candles that we light throughout the 8 days of Hanukkah represent the tzaddik, the light of the tzaddik. And it's this light that elevates us. The whole concept of Hanukkah, we're told, that the Greeks tried to defile all the oils, all the purity of the Jews, to bring us down. When they found this vial of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it, The Kohen Gadol represents the tzaddik. The we find in the Torah, the pasuk says, "Ki sif se kohen yishmeru das v'toyra." The Talmud Chacham is referred to as kohen also. This vial of oil that had the seal of the tzaddik represents the light of the Torah as presented by the tzaddik, where it has this simcha to it, it has this joy to it, it has this emes in it, the real purity of emes. This holiday of Chanukah comes out during the month towards the end of Kislev, and as we start Teves, which is the longest nights of the year. The winter nights, the long winter nights, are specifically at this time of Chanukah, and the nighttime darkness represents depression, sadness, depression. The fact that we're lighting these candles reminds us of our kesher to the tzaddik, to these 36 tzaddikim, which takes us out of the darkness, out of the sadness and depression, and into the simcha. And Yitz Hashem, we hope we'll have much more on this in subsequent shiurim, where we'll take up this topic of Chanukah in much more detail. Shesvayishlach is entitled Misas Malachim. It gives a whole discussion about that. There was this king and then he died, and then the kings of Esau. There was this king and then he died, and then this king and he died. And the Zohar HaKadosh shows how the whole creation of the world and the worlds is based on that paragraph in the Chumash. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains that when it uses the term Misas Malachim, when it speaks about a king dying, whenever light drops a level, when there's a Shviras HaKelim, another word for that is Misas Malachim. These two terms are used interchangeably in the Sifrei Kabbalah. This is what Rav Nelson Zal is referring to when he says here that Shviras HaKelim is synonymous with Misa. Sometimes when we find the word Misa used in the Torah, it means Shviras HaKelim. It means a major Yerida, a major fall. Just like the Torah says, Oni Choshev Kemes, a poor person is considered dead. When Yaakov Avinu told Eliphaz, take all my money, you have a mitzvah of Kiburav, your father told you to kill me. No problem, you'll fulfill that mitzvah, take all my money. By going down, a person loses all his wealth, that's a Yerida, that's a Shviras HaKelim, that's the Bechina of Misa. Vesehu, this is what it means over there in Shir HaShirim, when it says, Ki azo kamoves ahava. The love is as powerful as death, meaning that this love, this oyer ein soif, is deadly. Ki ribui ho'ava v'slavos l'ashem yizborach meruba kol kach ad sheyichoyin lova yadei zechas rishon l'ribui yor shebichnes misa kanal. Because this too much love, this multitude of love and fire for Hashem, which is so powerful that it can lead to riboyer, that's the bechina of misa. That's deadly. Umei oitzim rishbe eish hahislavus einon uyoidim klal eich letzamtzimoy. And because we're so on fire, we don't know how to control it in any way. We don't know how to channel it in any way. That's the term I'm looking for. We don't know how to channel that fire. Ki onu chafetzim ma'oid liyos dvukim b'chot tomid. Because Hashem, we want to be attached to you 24/7 all the time. Al kein onu mevakshim b'cho, therefore we beg of you, sheturachem aleinu, you should have pity on us. Usetzamtzem ho'or la'atzmecho. And you, Hashem, should channel the light. You should constrict the light for us. V'niyeh dvukim b'cho, kachoysam alibecho, kachoysam alzrecho. And we should be attached to you and connected to you like a seal. A seal is not uncontrolled light. A seal is not infinite. A seal is something that's closed, that's measured, that's constricted. Like the seal on your heart and the seal on your arm. Hainu shehadveikus yeh bebechinas choysam v'tzimtzum. So that this deep connection and attachment to Hashem will be like a seal. A seal is something that's very limited. Kedei lekabel ho'er badrogo b'midos, that we can receive the light and we can channel the light in a healthy way. V'zehu kachoysam al libecha, kachoysam al zreacha. That's why the pasuk speaks about there about this double seal, the seal on your heart and the seal on your arm. Zebechinas tefillin shel roish utefillin shel yad ki yadua. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that that pasuk is referring to the tefillin that we wear on our head and on our arm. That's this double chosam. Bechinas beiso ilo ubeiso tato, which correspond to the upper house, the Beis Hamikdash in heaven, and the Beis Hamikdash below on earth, which Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in Torah Memtes. Ki leiv hu bechinas beiso ilo, because the heart represents the upper house, the upper shechina. We know the term bayis. The Gemara says beisoi zu ishtoi. A person's house is his wife. So that when we speak about chachma, for example, the bayis of chachma is male. The bayis of chachma is bina. When we speak about zeranpin, the six spheres of chesed through yisoid, the vav, the bias of the Vav is the last hay, which is Malchus, the lower Shechina. That's this Beisa Ilo and Beisa Tato, the Tfilin Shel Roish and the Tfilin Shel Yad, which correspond to Bechinas Bino Libo, Shehi Beisa Ilo. The Tfilin Shel Roish in this case correspond to the Bina, which is associated with the heart, which is called the upper bias, Zroya and the arm, who bechinas tefillin shel yad. That refers to the tefillin shel yad, shehi yad keho, which in this case specifically we're referring to the weaker hand, bechinas malchus, beisotato. That represents malchus, which is the lower bias. Hainu kanal, kimavur b'maymar hanal. This is as we've mentioned earlier in this halacha, and as Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in Torah Memtes, sheyesh lishnei batim aliyah, Alidei Bechinas Tzimtzum Hanal, that when a Jew is zoicha to take this Oyer Ein Soif and do the proper Tzimtzum for it, he makes a tikkun for two things, the upper bias, the lower bias. He makes a tikkun for the Bina and for the Malchus. For the heart, remember we said when a person makes a neder, the neder starts off by a hislavus in the heart. But the neder doesn't become complete until it comes out of the mouth. The mouth is the malchus, the mouth is the tzimtzum, the mouth is the beis ilah. So neder is the heart and the mouth. And Rav Nosson Zal just showed us tefillin is referred to as this choysam al ibecha, choysam al zroyacha, which are referred to as these two shechinas, these two biases, which when a person is zoicha, he elevates both of these. When a person behaves properly, he brings about an aliyah to both of these, to the upper Shechina and lower Shechina. Paragraph Yud Beis. V'ze bechinas haksharim shel hatfilin. Now you'll understand why we know that the main part of the tefillin is the parshios, right? The parshios which the sofer writes by hand on parchment, and that's usually the most expensive part of the tefillin, usually would be the parshios, handwritten by the sofer. Then you have the batim. These parshios are put into boxes, cases made out of leather, etc. And then besides that, we have these straps with which we make special knots, the ksharim, the kesher of the tefillin shel roish, and we have the kesher of the tefillin shel yad. Ki oyer hatfillin b'sharoshon Godoil Ma'oid ad Ein Soif. Because the light of the tefillin from its point of origin is infinite. Al Kain Ein Yecholin Lekaplam. Therefore, we can't handle the light of the tefillin. Ki Imalidei Ksharim. We must have Ksharim attached to it. Shehem Bechinas Choysam. A Kesher, a knot, is a seal. One of the ways that we seal something shut is we tie it. We tie the suitcase up, we tie our shoes, we tie it, that's sealing it closed, that's closing it. Shehein b'chinas choysam, b'chinas tzimtzum hor. That's an example of a constriction of the light. Shaydei ze yechoyin lekabel oyer hatfilin akdoishim b'hadrogo u'bemida. That's how we're able to receive the light, the holy light of the tefillin, in a measured, calculated, limited way. וזה בחינס הבתים של התפילין. This is also the concept of the cases of the tefillin. כי הבתים שלה של רויש הוא בחינס בייס העילה. The bias of the tefillin של רויש corresponds to the upper bias, to bina, to that shechina, we said that's the case for the chachma. Ubayis shela shel yad, and the bias of the tefillin shel yad hu bechinas beis atato, corresponds to the lower bias. The Gemara says that Hashem says, I will not enter into the heavenly beis hamikdash until the Jewish people are zecher to come into the beis hamikdash downstairs here. So we see this concept of an upper bias and lower bias. Sheheim metzamtzemim v'choismin ho'oyer ha'godol shel ha'parshiyas. It's these two boxes that constrict and confine the light of the parshiyas, that bright light that's glowing from those parshiyas. Sheheim ha'moichin ha'meir nadein soif. The parshiyas represent the moichin of Kedusha, which represent infinite light. V'alkein tzrichin letofron begidin, ulechorchon besairos. And this is why, how do we sew up the boxes that it fill in? We use the sinews. We use that string, not string. It's made from the what part of the animal? From the sinews of an animal, exactly. And also we use the hairs. We tie up the parshiyos using goat's hair, actual hair of an animal, is what they tie the parshiyos up inside the tefillin. And also we have the hairs that protrude from the bias of the tefillin. Hakol bishvil tzimtzum ha'oyer ha'godol. These are all examples of how we're constricting and limited and confining and channeling that infinite light through these thin, thin wires. Because the Zohar HaKodesh and the Arizal tell us that these Gidin and Sarois, they represent Tzimtzumim. They're these thin wires through which the electricity flows, through which that infinite light flows. וזה בחינס סימני כחויסם על ליבךו, כחויסם על זרויחו, כי עזו. שהם בחינס תפילן של רויש ותפילן של יד. That פוסק refers to the תפילן של רויש ושל יד. שהם הצמצומים, בחינס חויסמויס. They are an example of these צמצומים of this light. בחינס שני בתים, and now the two בייס המקדשים, corresponding to the two בתים of the תפילן. כדי לצמצם הוער הגודל, to constrict that bright light, so that we could be able to serve Hashem in a proper, healthy, controlled way. Rabbi Nosnal says, if you look over there in the Zohar HaKodesh, in the writings of the Arizal, this pasuk in Shir HaShirim is the whole basis on a spiritual level for the whole mitzvah of tefillin. Interesting, Rav Nosson Zal doesn't mention it here. The Gemara says that when after the Egel Hazov, when Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with Hashem, he begged Hashem, Hareini noes kvoidecha. Hashem, show me. I want to look at you. I want to see you. Hashem said, can't, ki lo yirani adam v'choi. Nobody can see me and live. But what I'll do for you is I'm going to put you inside a rock, and I'm going to pass by you, v'ro'iso es achoirai. You will see my back, uponai lo yero. You will not see my face. My face you can see. My back you're going to see. Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in Likutei Moran. The Zohar HaKodesh speaks about this a lot. So the Gemara says, what did Hashem mean when he said the back? You'll see the kesher shel tefillin. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, kaviyocha. Again, on a spiritual level, you'll see the kesher of the tefillin. What is the kesher of the tefillin? The tzimtzum of the oyer. That oyer ein soif, if you're going to look at the face of Hashem, you're going to be even Moshe Rabbeinu. This oyer ein soif can blind, must have a tzimtzum. Hashem said you'll be able to look at the kesher shelter. That you can look at. The parshiyos you can't look at. The parshiyos have to be inside batim. They have to be hidden, closed. They're blinding. The kesher, that we can look at. Paragraph Yud Gimel, v'zeh shemuva b'hamaisis shel Rabbeinu Zal, b'hamaisis shel hamelech shegozar gerush b'gzeir hashmad. Now Rabbeinu Zal gives an incredible revelation to clarify one of the stories that Rabbein Azal told in Sipurei Maisis. I believe this is the fourth story, if I'm not mistaken, about a king who issued a decree that everyone in his country has to convert. If you don't convert, you have to leave. And Rabbein Azal gives a whole beautiful story there, tells a story. And in that story, we find in one of the parts of the story that the king has to pass through a certain fire. And the secret to being able to pass through that fire and not be harmed, not be destroyed by it is if you have tzitzis and tefillin. If you have tzitzis and tefillin, the fire can't hurt you. If not, the fire wipes you out completely. And because that king had issued a decree that in his country you weren't allowed to do mitzvahs, you couldn't wear talis and tefillin, Rabbein Azal said that at one point he had a dream and he saw a sheep and an ox laughing at him. This sheep and ox represented the tzitzis and the tefillin. The tzitzis come from wool, you know, from the sheep, and the tefillin made from leather. They were laughing at him because of the fact that he did not allow the Jews to wear tzitzis and tefillin. When he went through that fire, the fire destroyed him completely. So Rav Nosson says, "Now, shayidei tzitzis u'tefillin yecholin laver b'soicho eish hagdoila." We see in the story there that through tzitzis and tefillin, you're able to pass through that great fire and not be harmed by it. Ki o eish hagdoila nimsheches v'nishtal shelo me eish shelamala, because that tremendous fire mentioned in that story, that fire originates from upstairs, from heaven, from Hashem. Mibchinas ki Hashem alekecho eish oichlehu. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, Hashem is a destructive fire. Hashem is a burning fire. Mibchinas oir hahislavus. This is that fiery desire that we spoke about earlier. Shehu b'chinas ein soif, which represents the infinite light. Ve'esh hazoi subchinas tcheles, the ochli kola v'shatzi kola. And Rabbein Azal says in Torah Memtes in Likutim, on the Torah that this halach is based on, that when we talk about the Shekhinah being this fire, one representation of it is the tcheles of the tzitzis, the blue color in the tzitzis. That tcheles, the Targum says on the pasuk Eish Oichla, a destroying fire, the achli kola v'shatzi kola, that destroys everything. The word tcheles, lechalois, means to destroy, to wipe out. So this is all referring to the Shechina, the achli kola v'shatzi kola. Aval Yisrael hadveikim b'Hashem, whereas the Jewish people who are attached to Hashem, mekablam chiyusa mimenu. To us, that fire is not deadly, it's not a destructive fire, it's a beautiful light. It's a light that gives us life. We va'atem advekim b'Hashem alekechem. When a goy tries to attach himself to the fire without the tzimtzum, the fire wipes him out completely. We have the Torah. We have the mitzvahs, which are the tzimtzumim, to channel, to receive that light and fire in a healthy way, in a positive, constructive way. We draw life from it. As Rabbein Azal explains, look in Torah Memtes. Rabbein Azal discusses this whole topic there. Ki Yisroel alidei mitzvas tzitzis u'tfilin he metzamtzimim ho'er kanal. Because we, by performing the mitzvah of tzitzis and tfilin, those are perfect examples of tzimtzum of the light. The eight strings and the knots of the tzitzis and the knots of the tfilin and the batim, these are all tzimtzumim and tzimtzumim and tzimtzumim. Ki tzitzis mavoyer b'maimer anal shubichinas tzimtzum ha-kodesh kanal. Because Rabbein Azal in Torah Mem Test discusses tzitzis. And he says tzitzis is an example of this tzimtzum. U'tfilin heim b'chinas chosam anal. And we just said tfilin is the chosam. Therefore, tzitzis and tefillin are perfect examples of the tzimtzum of the light. Therefore, the Jewish people who wore tzitzis and tefillin, they were able to pass through that fire and it didn't harm them at all. Because just the opposite. They draw life from that fire, from the Shekhinah, from Hashem, from that ball of fire. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, v'atem, you, the Jewish people, hadveikim b'Hashem alekechem, when you're attached to Hashem, Chaim kulchem hayem. Your attachment to Hashem doesn't blow your fuses. It doesn't kill you. It's chaim kulchem hayem. It gives you life. Amen v'amen. Drop more. Shaykh Leil, related to what we learned about before, v'zeh shesiyim. And that's why over there in Shir Hashirim, when it mentions that pasuk simeni kachoysam alibeh, kachoysam alzreacha, it finishes up there by saying, "Im yitein ishes kol hoin beisoy bo'ava, boiz yavuzeloi." If a person would want to give all the wealth of his whole house to express his love, his deep love, they'll laugh at him. They'll insult him. It's a joke. Ki kishezoichen lachoysomoy sanal. Because when a Jew is zoicha to those two choisims that we mentioned, which means dahainu letzamtzem ho'orhein soif badroga b'mida, which means to constrict and to channel that infinite light in a healthy way, aydeze zoichen lo'oraiso da'atikos timo. That person is zoicha to the highest level of light, the highest level of Torah, which is called atik, as atikos timo. Shehi koilo yamina, which is all right, R-I-G-H-T. It's all from the right side, no left at all, no din whatsoever. V'les smoil, there is no left side at all there whatsoever. V'les oisher tamon, there's no money there. Money is on the left side. The pasuk says, mitzofoin zohav zoasa. Money comes from the north, from the left. The pasuk says, oirech yamin biyamina, long life is on the right. On the left, you have Oishav Echavoy. But when we're Zoicha to have these Choysims, which enable us to go up to the top floor, to the Keser, to the Atika Stimor, there is no left. There is no money. If a person talks about money there, they laugh at him. There's no left side whatsoever. As Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this very, very well over there in Torah Mem Tes. V'zehu simeni chachoysim. We say to Hashem, please, make our kesher with you like a choysim, like a seal. Hainu tzimtzum ho'er ba'droga b'mida b'p'chinas choysim. That we should receive the light in a constricted way, in a healthy way. Why? Ki azo kamovesavo. Because the burning love that we have, if it's not going to be constricted, it's deadly. It's moves. Reshafeho rishvei eish shall have a score. There's this raging fire that's burning. Dahainu shalev boyer adein soif. My heart is on fire for Hashem. It's got infinite fire in it. V'alkein tzrichen la tzimtzum hakodesh. Therefore, we need this holy tzimtzum. Bechinas choisamois, those seals. V'azai im yitein ish es kol hoin beise bo'ava, boiz yavuzeloi. And once I'm zoiche to have those choisamois, once I'm set up properly, where I have the proper tzimtzumim, where I can receive oir ein soif in a healthy, constructive way, then if you talk to me about money, I'm going to laugh at you. Then, imitein ishes kolim beis abava boiz evuzalei. Ki oz al yidei b'chinas choysim anal, zoichin loirai sedatik estimo. Because when a person has those choysims, he's zoichin to be able to receive light from the keser, from the highest place. She'oz mevazin kol hoin de'alma. Then, when you're coming from there, all the wealth of the world is a joke. It's nonsense. Ki less smoil, the less oisher tamon. Because the Zohar Kodesh says, upstairs over there in the Keser, there's no left and there's no money. She'zeu b'chinas. This is what Rabbeinu Zal brings over there in Torah Mem Tes on Likutei Moran, where he quotes the pasuk unevas bayis. Techalik sholol, shemevaznes hamoyis b'chinas boiz yavuzuloi, ayin shom b'maimer anal b'soifoi. Look at the end of that chapter in the Qumran, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this. He says that I believe it refers to the woman of the house there, the nevas bayis, will give out the wealth. Why are you giving out wealth? Because I don't need it. It's nothing. I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. I don't need this stuff. This is referring to the person who's zoicha to go up to that high place of the Keser, that high place of the Torah of Atika Stimor, where he's in a place where money is meaningless to him. He's way, way above that concept. Money is a concept of the left side, a certain type of tzimtzum, where he's way above that. Baruch Hashem. Once again, this was a very deep halacha, and it's based on a chapter in Likut Imran that's quite deep and long, to the degree that a person has the opportunity to study that chapter in Likut Imran well, and to learn this halacha well, to that degree, they'll understand it better and better. A person's learning it for the first time. It's not easy. It's heavy duty. But with Hashem's help, we know that from here on in, it only gets easier. The second time, third time, fourth time will be much easier. Baruch Hashem.